Hey folks, just a reminder of all the ways you can give to Five Forks Baptist Church. You know, generous people love giving because of all the great things that they see that go on through this place. And so they give, and then Five Forks Baptist Church uses that money to bless the Lord with it and to overflow into the lives of so many other people right here in the Five Forks area, but also all across the globe for the cause of Jesus Christ. So really, there are three main ways that you can give during this time. First of all, you can obviously mail in a gift to our church here. That church address is Five Forks Baptist Church, 112 Batesville Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina, 29681. And then obviously if you do like I do, internet banking, where the bank sends all of your checks and you pay all your bills online, then you can just have your bank send that check that way as well. Or if you'd like to give digitally through our website, you can do that. You're going to go to www.fiveforks.org. And then when you go there, you're going to look on the right-hand upper side of the page, and you're going to see a button that says Give. Just click on that button, and it will take you to our safe giving platform where you can give to the ministry here. And we're so thankful for all of your faithful giving during this time. I'm going to take just a moment, and I am going to pray for the gifts that our church receives and that we'll use them in a way that really brings the Lord pleasure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you have given to us, and out of the overflow of that we are able to give back to you and see it used in so many practical ways in this community. Lord, I pray that you would bless the gifts that we receive this week. I pray that you would bless the givers of those gifts. And Lord, I know that you are even now in the process, like you always do, of marrying that gift with a need that can be met in a tremendous way for you to get glory and for God's people to be built up. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles today, I want to encourage you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 in your Bibles. If you do not have a Bible, but you've got a digital device handy, then if you look in your bulletin or you'll follow this link and it will take you to a digital copy of these notes that you can use to just kind of follow along. That text will come up digitally so that you don't have to miss what's going on in the Word of God. So we want to make sure that you have opportunity to see that. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to begin in verse 4 today, and we're going to go verses 4 through 6 and then skip down to verse 8. And this text that we are looking at today, we're beginning a new series called The God of Hope. And we are so excited to be able to see this God who brings hope into our lives. We are a people who are sorely in need of hope. It's been said that you can live 40 days without food. It's been said that you can live about 4 days without water. It's been said you can live about 4 minutes without air, but you cannot live 4 seconds without hope. And so what we are going to see from the Word of God over the course of the next 4 weeks or so is how you and I can have that rock-ribbed, sure hope that God is up to something amazing in our lives. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, the writer says this: marriage must be respected by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge immoral people and unbelievers. Your life should be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And then you skip down to verse 8 and you find Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was just thinking this past week and got out my calendar and just looked because, you know, in quarantine, the days kind of move a little bit slower and you sort of lose track of where you're at. And in the last 5 weeks, just 5 weeks, it seems like everything has changed. March 15th, I preached my final message of the Invite Your One series. And that evening, I taught about forgiveness in the adult Bible study, and we were all gathered together at that time. But thanks to the coronavirus, the next Sunday came. But Sunday services did not, at least in the corporate sense. And that's just a little taste of all the changes. 5 weeks ago, school was still in. 5 weeks ago, the stock market was way up. 5 weeks ago, professional sports still in full swing. 5 weeks ago, you could find toilet paper in a store. The events of the last few weeks, I was recalling a Henry David Thoreau quote when he said, "Nothing endures except change. Change is the only constant of the human experience." And it is against that backdrop of constant and continual change that the writer of Hebrews tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In less than 10 words, the inspired writer speaks about what we call the immutability or the unchangeability of Jesus Christ. In less than 10 words, we read about the only constant in human experience. In less than 10 words, we see what theologian A.W. Pink called, "These words are the most glorious message which is designed to set the hearts of God's children at perfect rest." For man, change is inevitable. You and I cannot not change. But for God, change is impossible. God doesn't change. So I want to show you some things today about a changeless God in changing times. Right from this text today, the Word of God speaks into our lives in such a practical fashion right now. First thing I want you to see is there will never be a change in His character. There will never be a change in His character. The God of Scripture has never had any alterations, additions, amendments. He has never known a variation. He has never known a vacillation. Jehovah God never changes to increase or to improve. Mark it down, big and bold. God never changes. Everything He ever was, He still is. Everything He now is today, He always was in eternity past, and He always will be in eternity future. Immutability is a fundamental characteristic of God, and it's one of the pillars of biblical theology. Now, common sense tells us that a perfect God can't change, because if He got to the point where He was perfect, He can't change for the better, obviously, because if He got to that point, then that would imply He wasn't perfect in the past. He couldn't change for the worse, or He wouldn't be holy anymore. So God doesn't change just in our common sense, but we aren't just left up to common sense. Look into the Word of God and you find it all over the Word of God. Malachi 3:6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change." James 1:17 says, "In God there is no variation or shifting shadow." I love that phrase that James puts in there, shifting shadow. This idea of just a movement that's small and almost imperceptible. He says there's not even that when it comes to God. Exodus 3:14, the great unchanging constant, where Moses says, "Who should I tell the children of Israel sent me?" And God says this, "I am who I am." The great unchanging constant. Not I was who I was, not I will be who I will be. I am who I am. Psalm 102, God's word says this, "Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish." But then He makes this pivot, "But you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change and they will be changed, but you are the same and your years will not come to an end. Every one of those passages that I've just read for you, Hebrews chapter 1, applies these to the person of Jesus Christ as well. Now, this also disproves one of those major false tenets of a particular branch of religion that we have today, one that you can become a god. Now, you're hearing this a lot lately if you are watching Pentecostal or charismatic TV preachers, and they begin to promote what they call a little gods doctrine. Movements that aren't based on the sufficiency of Scripture, they will go into fads of theology, just like their trends and fads and clothes and fashion, that sort of thing. And it became fashionable to teach that when you got saved, you became a little god. Not to be unkind, but the notion that a man who evolved into deity or a god, that is possible, is foreign to Scripture and is completely incompatible with God's character. In order to ever become a god, you would have to undergo a sudden and drastic change in who you currently are, thereby instantly disqualifying yourself from any claim to deity, because then you would be changeable, and God is, by definition, eternally unchangeable. When you got saved, you didn't become a god. You didn't become a little god. Not even an itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny god. You are a believer in Jesus, but God is God. There will never be a change in his character. Secondly, though, there will never be a change in his commands. There will never be a change in his commands. You may have wondered when we began reading the text why we started in verse 4 and read down. Because what you see in verse 4 is pivotal in understanding Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So these verses, starting in verse 4, just record a few of God's commands about sin and about consequences. And it is in the immediate context of that great declaration about the unchangeableness of God. So the bottom line is, don't ever get the idea that God has somehow mellowed on sin or changed his mind about it. For a lot of the last 200 years, theological liberals began to embrace something called process theology. It is the notion that God is in this process of improving. Process theology has its ancient roots, but its modern rebirth came about in the 19th and 20th centuries. Process theology is, in a lot of ways, a philosophical mother of what is now today, you may have heard of it, called liberation theology, which has grown deep roots in some areas of churches in America. That's why you'll be watching TV and you'll see somebody who is called Reverend, and they start teaching or preaching, and you start scratching your head saying, what Bible are you reading? What God are you talking about? That you're talking about a God who does this or does that. They're talking about a God who changes. They're talking about a God who used to be against homosexuality, but that's because he adapted to the bigoted culture of Abraham's day. Today, he understands gay marriage as a civil rights issue, and as New Testament believers, we should be careful to judge not, lest we be judged. You know, he used to be against adultery, but that's because he was a Puritan even before the Puritans came along. He had adapted to the patriarchal male chauvinist views of Nathan's day when he confronted King David. Today, however, he gives peace to people who are breaking their vows, because more than anything else, God wants you to be happy and to get up every morning with a smile on your face. He used to be in favor of justified righteous war. But that's only because he adapted to the militaristic patriotism of David's day. But at some point, since he commanded the military destruction of Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Edom, Anam, Moab, and others, God burned his draft card in protest to the nationalistic military buildup of sovereign nations. God used to be in favor of governments enacting the death penalty. But that's because he adapted to the totalitarianism of Moses' day. But God no longer sees a distinction between individual vigilantes and governments. He's come of age now, and he favors life without parole, even for serial killers. You go through thing after thing after thing. These modern-day revisionists, they've even suggested that God shouts about some sins while he whispers about others. Friends, I don't care who you are, if your God whispers about certain sins, your mutable God is not the immutable God of Holy Scripture. Numbers 23:19 says, "For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent." If he was against it before, he's still against it now. If he was for it before, he's still for it now. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not change. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. There will never be a change in his character. There will never be a change in his commands. Number three, there will never be a change in his comfort. Two great promises from God in this passage of Scripture, one in verse 5, one in verse 6. And if you do not understand the unchangeable nature of God, these promises are not going to mean much to you. But what does he say in verse 5? He says right here, "Your life should be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have." So he gives this desire for people to be content, and then he gives you the why in the latter half of the verse. "For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." Now, in the Greek, there's a double emphasis. The language that the New Testament was originally written in, that phrase, "he himself," right there, is a double emphasis. And then in the Greek, there's also a double negative if you look at this passage. "No, not ever," it could be translated. You know, we think about that and we say, wow, why is God repeating things in this passage? Because the fact is, for most of us, once is not enough. So let me tell you again, when your friends walk out on you and trouble walks in, God will never leave you. When trouble piles up and then a crisis rolls in, God will never leave you. When the winds are howling and the storms blow, God will never leave you. Whether the sun is shining or the rain is falling, God will never leave you. That's why he tells us that. Robert Louis Stevenson, great author of books like Treasure Island and The Mysterious Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you've probably read some of his stuff. As a little boy, he took an ocean voyage with his father one time. They encountered a great storm while they were out at sea. So his father goes up to the wheelhouse and he saw the captain of the ship at the wheel, and he was calm, collected, and confident. So he went back down and he comforted a young Robert Louis Stevenson. Robert Louis Stevenson said, "Dad, what happens if the ship sinks?" And his father said, "The captain is at the wheel, and he who knows the storm better than we is at perfect peace. All is well." Let me tell you something today, folks. He who knows the storm better than you or I that we are facing today is at perfect peace. All is well. There will never be a change in his character. There will never be a change in his commands. There will never be a change in his comfort. And there will never be a change in his capability. The older I get, there is stuff that I can't do as well as I used to do. As a matter of fact, I was just telling the guys doing video, our audiovisual folks, that I am about to need to go to an eye doctor because I'm having trouble seeing these tiny words on the printed page. So in some ways, I can still do everything that I need, that I used to be able to do. I just can't do as much of it as one time without having to stop and rest a little bit. Y'all, God has never had that experience. Even though he is literally older than dirt itself, God's eye has not dimmed. His strength has never abated. His arm has never weakened. Anything that he was ever able to do, he can still do. He's the same Christ who healed the man with the withered hand, raised Jairus' daughter, cleansed the leper. He's the same Christ who with a word calms the raging sea, multiplied a little boy's lunch, hung between heaven and earth for wicked sinners, and got up from the dead on the third day. From age to age, from everlasting to everlasting, Jesus Christ will never change. The same Lord that was a shepherd for David will still make you and I, if you know him as Savior, lie down in green pastures and lead you beside the quiet waters. The same Lord that was a refuge and a strength to Hezekiah will be a place for you to be able to run and hide today. The same Lord that turned a jar of oil into a family oil business can meet every need that you have according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The same Lord that freed the demoniac of Gadara can bring you liberty and freedom in your life today. The same Lord that said, "Peace, be still," can calm the storm in your life today. The same Lord that forgave a repentant thief and took him that day to paradise can wash your sins away today, and you can stop watching this video and be a brand new person if you'll come to know Jesus as Savior. Since the dawn of time, God has been changing hearts, transforming lives, restoring marriages, and saving souls. He is still in that business today. He has to be, because he's our unchanging and unchangeable Lord. He doesn't want to leave you the same. Not one more day, not one more hour, not one more moment. Jesus Christ, however, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, maybe you're listening to me and you say, "I need that pardon and forgiveness of sin. I need Jesus to come into my life and to save me." If you are willing today to turn from your sin, from your own way of trying to make life work, and trust Jesus alone to save you, he's promised that he'll do that. And Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, always keeps his promises. So in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you can pray and just express, if you mean it in your heart, then you can express to God your desire to be saved. Maybe I'm talking to somebody else. Maybe you've been attending Five Forks Baptist Church, and maybe you've gotten a feel for what we're all about, and maybe especially during this time, you're looking, saying, "I need to be a part of that church family." If that's your desire, I want to encourage you to make a commitment to make Five Forks Baptist Church your place of ministry involvement by joining this assembly. You say, "Well, Pastor Tim, I'd like to do that, but I don't know how right now." I'd like for you to reach out to us, and I would be happy to set up a Zoom meeting with you, and you and I can talk. You say, "Oh, I don't know how technological I am." Well, that's okay. Just pick up the phone and reach out to us, and I'd be happy to talk with you on the phone as well. And we'll talk with you about how you can make Five Forks Baptist Church your place of ministry involvement. Maybe you just, as a believer in Jesus, are looking and saying, "I need to be a person who trusts in the unchangeable God in changing times." Maybe you'd just like to commit yourself to that in prayer today, to rest in his care over his creation for his glory and the good of believers. Let me take a moment and pray for us. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can pray a prayer that simply goes something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross for my sin. I know you rose from the dead 3 days later. I now ask you to forgive me of my sin and save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, then the Bible tells us that you are a member of the family of God. I would love for you to reach out to us. If you got this link from Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, I want to encourage you to send a message back to us via those social media outlets and let us know about your decision. Or if you'd like to email me, tim@fivefoorks.org. Tim@fivefoorks.org, and I would love to talk with you and just give you some idea of how you can grow in your Christian faith. Maybe you made one of those other decisions that we talked about. We would love to share and rejoice with you as well. So just reach out to us and let us know. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, stands ready to meet the biggest needs of your human experience today. Will you let him?